My name is Chris Patterson. I am a composition of therapeutic area lead. It means that I work with a group of people who have several direct reports just like a regional head. I have been with this company for 8 years now and just trying to total 23 years in the industry. Like you, I started in the clinical and moved to the pharmaceutical industry. So I very much understand your desire to move. At this point, I would like to welcome you to this panel interview.
Nice to meet you too.
I am Greg Clouds. I have been with BMS for 7 years and I am the therapeutic area lead for the oncology group. So the immune oncology asset primarily and my background and training were in pediatric oncology before I came to BMS. So, nice to meet you, Shayo.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you too.
Okay then, let's just get started. Maybe to kick off the conversation. You remember, Shayo, that the two of us had spoken and we had ample time to discuss your past experience. But in order to get the conversation started for the panelists, for those that haven't yet met you, it would be quite good if you explain what you are currently doing. I have an understanding that you have worked with CROs, but would like to understand your current role and what type of activities you perform for them. It would be good if in that context, you could speak a little bit about what type of impact you have had on protocol development, development of clinical study reports like
AA documents, because those were mentioned in your CV, that would be very, very helpful.
Sure. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be interviewed. I have mentioned that I'm a physician by training and I had my residency in obstetrics and gynecology. I practiced clinical medicine for a while and then came into the pharma space around 2017 with a CRO where I started working as a medical reviewer and also a clinical safety physician. So presently, I'm still with the same CRO, but I'm working at this time as a medical safety physician. And it has been my responsibility to manage the safety profile of my products. With this, I'm actually talking about signal detection or signal management processes, which includes the validation of the signal prioritization, assessment, and also coming up with communication or risk minimization to the stakeholders. Also, I contribute to the aggregate reports like the PIBA, the DSUR, okay? I also serve as the safety SME for study meetings. I plan the documentation or the altering of the risk management plans and the REMS if required by the FDA. I also contribute to RFIs where we'll provide responses to the questions the agencies have, help with the development of the IP, updating of the risk profiles, and also reviewing the CSR as well as other regulatory documents that are required during the life cycle of the products. So, as regarding filing, it was my responsibility to help with development of the briefing books and also assist the labeling team with any languages needed for life updates, as well as the development of the risk management plan and also wireframes for additional risk minimization measures if they are going to be part of the risk management plan that is going to be sent to the EU for filing. Also, it's my responsibility to ensure that all the safety data that has been captured in the clinical overview is intact, such as, you know, the TFL has been reviewed and compare those listings to what's in the database to be sure that all the risks have been properly captured as well. So that's what I'm doing in my present disposition, and I hope I'll be able to bring value to your team.
This is Josh. Maybe you could clarify a little bit, Shayo, is it a single product you are working with or is it like providing the functions for multiple products? And then, if you can explain a little bit more, at what stage and development are the products? Are they early in the market or have they been around for a while? If you could just clarify a couple of those things, so we can have a better picture.
Yeah, sure. So I've been opportunity to work with products in early development. And I'm talking about products that just filed an IND. Okay. I'm also products in the early stages of clinical trials That's talking about phase one and phase two, where I help with development of the CSBRA, which is the benefit risk assessment framework that's been recommended by the FDA. I've also worked with development, you know, of the core risk management plans. That's at the end of phase two. I've also been part of the team that assisted or supported the filing team. That's usually at the end of phase two also, when preparation of the briefing book and the BLA applications are getting ready to be prepared. For post-marketing as well, I review weekly line listings. I prepare aggregate report for the line listings, such as the PBAR and post-marketing, and also reply any PRAC requests that we have in that scenario. So again, also, I'm very involved with signal management, signal detection, which is something that takes place throughout the life cycle of the product, whether in the clinical or post-marketing. So yes, I would say there have been many opportunities to, you know, work in numerous cycles of the product, the research, development, during preclinical, clinical, as well as post-marketing.
I have a question about your interactions with different functions. Is it something regular for you to interact with other functions? And in what setting have you had that interaction?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure we all know that in this space, most of our collaborations are cross-functional, okay? So definitely we need input from regulatory, labeling, clinical, medical affairs, Center for Observational Research. So I have anchored meetings such as the risk management implementation team. Now, this is the team that works with development of the risk management plans or the REMS. And that same team, we have the global safety officer, we have the global development lead, we have the medical affairs lead, we have clinical department, labeling, commercial. So that's just an example of how I work cross-functionally with different departments. So the aim of that meeting was mainly the development of the risk management plans or REMS and also implementation, then coming up with the assessment plans. Now, the assessment reports and the effectiveness evaluation or assessment report, yeah, they are sent to the agencies in different timelines. So that's an example of the cross-functional collaboration that I've been in, as well as all the study meetings. And on the GST or the Global Safety Team, also the Executive Safety Committee as well, it's just a ton of cross-functional collaboration, and that's what I've been used to.
How many products are you currently responsible for? I mean, you work for a CRO now. So does it mean that you take on a whole chunk of responsibilities, or is it that you provide solutions to specific questions or specific functions? I am not quite sure what the business model looks like, and without going into any detail, it is more to gauge the depth of your involvement.
Yes. So for example, presently, I'm in charge of 4 products as a medical safety physician. 3 of those products are in the oncology space, and 1 is in the inflammatory / dermatology. So my involvement depends on the PVA, which is a pharmacovigilance agreement that the CRO has in place with the business partner. So that dictates the level of involvement. And I've been lucky to really be involved with a company that allows me to really get involved with study meetings and really go in depth with their full-time staff to work on different projects.
I will like to go next. Pointer to ask Shayo. How many people who do similar functions with you do you have on your team?
My immediate team is composed of 7 people. 2 medical safety physicians, that is myself and my other colleague, and we have 4 pharmacovigilance scientists. Now, both of us report to a global safety officer.
I see 4 products that you work on. What type of team on the sponsor side do you interact with? Do you fully cover the role of a safety physician?
So, yeah, for the sponsor side, they had a medical monitor, they had safety evaluation, they had the risk management director, who was the person that we worked closely with. They also had, of course, other functions like the regulatory admission, the medical monitors, the project lead, safety project manager. They also had development lead as well as other functions. But we just had the PV scientist and the medical safety physicians, and then the GSO, the global safety officer, from outside.
So this is great. That raises sort of an interesting question in my mind. It sounds like you are interacting with a cross-functional team, but some of the other team members are members of a different organization. So the question then is, if you have a safety finding, or a potential signal or a potential change to the risk management strategy that arises from your review of the safety data, and you are now trying to convince members of a separate organization or other functions about your assessments, and trying to convince them of any action that needs to be taken. Can you walk us through an example of where you have had to influence and come to an alignment with other functions that may hold a different opinion than you do?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, following what the PVA mentioned, so that's the pharmacovigilance agreement. When we have safety findings or safety data, we are meant to provide these to the sponsors within particular time frames that have been put in place. So when this occurs, usually we'll have an IGST, which is an ad hoc meeting, basically to discuss the new safety findings and how it has evolved. It's how it inflects or implicates other documents, such as maybe the risk management plans or the additional risk minimization measure for that matter. So usually what happens is this, DERA doesn't lie. Now, if you have a particular finding or you're trying to get a consensus from your team, it's all there in the data, right? So go through the data findings, and once we have a postulation for endorsement, we have to present those findings accordingly, following the data that we have. So, I mean, following the data that you have, that you have analyzed, and at the end of the day, sometimes there might not be, you know, a consensus or conflict with that particular information. For example, there was this particular scenario where we had an additional risk minimization measure put in place before the additional risk mitigation measure was materialized. Now, we had a lot of pushback from the sponsor side, and mainly this was because we found that a lot of patients were having elevated liver enzymes. And most of the medical review team from sponsor side had already, done signal validation, and it was insufficient evidence to come up with causal association, so the signal was refuted. Well, at that time, I'd not really taken a further look at the data, so I decided to, take a further look at the data. And when I did that, what I observed was that it seemed like most of the patients that had elevated liver enzymes complained of other symptoms, like they had other pieces of medication errors or dosing errors, right? So while looking at that particular data, I was able to see that probably if you come up with an additional risk minimization measure to help with this, the patients, to help them calculate the dose properly, then we might see reduced numbers of the increased liver hepatic enzyme. And so this was what we did. Now, following numerous conversations with the broader team, eventually we're able to pilot this measure, and subsequently the reporting rates of increased liver enzymes or hepatic enzymes reduced. So it's my belief that if I didn't have that data in hand, if I didn't have the analysis done, and if I didn't push back during those team meetings, we might still be having those elevated liver enzymes reported in patients using our products rather than using the additional risk minimization measure of a mere dose calculator to help resolve that issue. So that's an example of a time that worked with other team members to, push back and get something done for the benefit of patient care.
Thanks. That's a very good example.
Yeah, I have a question. So when you get an ad hoc request from health authorities, how involved are you? For example, how involved are you with the preparation, strategy for the response and drafting of the response? Who is it that provides you with access to the data? I am assuming that you are not doing database searches on your own.
Well, it depends on the content of the request. Sometimes the request might just be safety inclined, and then I'm really fully involved with this. So basically, we have a kickoff meeting In that kickoff meeting, we have the regulatory writer too. We have regulatory, we have safety, as well as other functions. And then in that meeting, we really discuss the questions, try to understand what they're asking, and then distribute the questions of various functions that have the responsibility for answering those sections. So usually, I'm provided with all the data I need. If it's a safety-related question, then I have access to these, to the Signal Information Management System, in case I need to pull out data. I also have access to the CSR for clinical study reports, as well as tables. I have access to the TLFs, to the risk management plans, and of course the PIBA, you know, so that this will help you to postulate answers properly. So once answers have been postulated, it is sent to the general team for internal review. So internal review happens three different times, and then we have to add a comment or edit to update the document. Now, once a document is updated, it's sent back to the regulatory writer to properly compile those responses in a sensible way to the agency. And yeah, that's basically the process we use to take care of all health authority requests.
You mentioned CSRS, but sometimes you may need to even take a deeper dive depending on the scope of the question. How does this work in your current organization? Is it the scientist that does this? I'm not sure.
Yes, yeah, so as I mentioned previously, we have four PV scientists who have access to the data of the global databases. So what happens is this: I inform the PV scientists, okay, about the interval I will want them to conduct the search on, okay, and also we'll speak about the search strategy, like are we using the SOC method or the SMQ lock. So I provide the search strategies, and an output of data is generated for me. But if I want to, I can also go to the database and pull it up myself, just depending on the type of workload that I have in that moment.
Thank you for the answer.
Thank you.
With reference to your CV, you spoke about lead policy communication plan and analyzing the effectiveness. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with analyzing the effectiveness for a safety measure?
Yes, I can. So I mentioned that I worked on a dosing calculator for a particular product that I worked on. So we're tasked to do the effectiveness evaluation after 18 months, 3 years, 5 and 7 years. So after 18 months, I had to do an interim analysis. And basically, I worked the Center for Observational Research to come up with questionnaires that will really capture the metrics that will be submitted to the agency. And we have set a threshold of 70% to access, the patient's understanding of the additional risk minimization materials. We're trying to assess the patient's willingness to use the additional risk minimization materials. And also, we're checking out the incidence of medication errors or increased hepatic liver enzymes at that point in time, because these are the characteristics that we observe for the implementation of the additional risk minimization MAO. So the questionnaires were developed with CIFOR, as I had mentioned, that's Center for Observational Research. And then we had questions basically asking how or what the content of the additional risk minimization measure is, how can they use it, how did they improve in their weight, and how did those help them calculate the different colors of the different products that can help identify the dose levels that they were meant to use as well. So after that, we had to get the exposure numbers to find out how many patients had been exposed to our products. And then we went through the database to search for how many cases of medication errors or elevated liver enzymes have been reported. And when we found the reporting ratio, we could see that are reduced by way more than 60% since the additional risk minimization measure had been implemented. So in reporting back to the FDA, we used the median. The average median was greater than 70%. I mean, because the median isn't affected by outliers. So that was the best measure of our central tendency. And what we had was more than 70% pass mark. I mean, because from the reporting ratio, we could see that the cases of elevated liver enzymes had been reduced by way more than 60%. So that was more than 70%, you know, which was a pass mark. And also there was also reduction in the reporting rates for increased liver enzymes and other medication errors. And those were the two metrics that the FDA asked us to measure. And it was huge relief that those metrics were achieved and it was a success. So that's an example of when I did an effectiveness evaluation of a safety measure.
You said you provide input into NDAs and MAA fillings. If you have been involved or had any role in reviewing or have had discussion about an initial label that is submitted to the agencies. So for example, a coordinator sheet that includes the risk-benefit on one side, as well as efficacy statement on the other hand, but then, also the safety profile including warnings and precautions and a summary or ADRs in the description. Have you had any hand in that in any of your roles that you have played so far?
So, I've been involved with processes around that, but not particularly designing the label. What my own responsibility towards that is suggesting or having meetings with labeling and also commercial to come up with the required language that should be added to record data sheets. So that's been the essence of my own contribution, not necessarily developing the label in totality.
Okay, thank you for clarifying this.
So, I have a slightly different kind of question. Now, you know we have several core values within our company. So, I just wonder for you. I mean, you have been in this type of work for probably close to 5 years now. What do you find most interesting? Is it the data part of it? Is it working with other people on a team? What really drives your passion and which is the most interesting aspect of your work?
So, thanks for that question. And I think what drives my passion is basically the end goal, which is patient safety. So everything in between contributes to that. From, you know, getting data, analyzing the data, the clinical, the all research and development phase, meeting safety endpoints, both primary and secondary safety endpoints, interactions with other functions, interactions with the agency, coming up with additional risk minimization measures or risk management plans or REMS. Everything geared towards protecting the patient without actually being involved in hospital care. So this gives me a different view of patient safety, and that's what moves me and what gets me going.
If you had to pick your top thing that you are most proud of all the things that you have done, I know it's kind of hard sometimes to think that this is something that stands out for you, but what will you say is something that stands out for you?
Yes, and if you notice, that's what I've been mentioning. At the time that I analyzed the data that I received as a report filtered in for the elevated liver enzymes, we found out that it was definitely due to medication errors, number one. And now providing additional risk minimization measures to help combat it actually solved the problem. So that was a project that I followed from start to the first effectiveness evaluation. And I was really proud that I was able to do something that helped the patients. So that's something that I really put eye up there.
Thanks.
Well, we all have our jobs and it can be pretty comprehensive, particularly in a large organization that basically has to deliver end-to-end solutions for any one compound from cradle to grave. So I wanted to ask you. You have listed quite a number of activities that you have been involved with or provided input to. Is there anything, even though this may be technical skills or whatever kind of activities that you prefer? We understand that we have to adhere to certain standards, but is there any activity that you particularly like doing, or you believe you are particularly good at?
Yes, so I'm particularly good at interpreting data and the whole signal management process. So that's one activity that I will say I'm really, really good at.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are welcome.